and welcome to Cruisin' Forever Viewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Carl Westworth, and I am rejoined by Ava.
Thanks for having me again.
Thank you for coming back for part two of Interview with the Vampire. We will just rehash what we went over. You should probably listen to the episode, but just in case you've forgotten in that week, basically they thought they killed Louis. He came back as a zombie from the swamp.
Lestat.
Oh, sorry. Lestat.
We would like to kill Louis.
yes, we would. They thought they killed Lestat, but hadn't. He comes back, tries to get a little bit of revenge, but also go back to his, you know, happy family before all this happened, and they set fire to him and bolt. And that is where we left off, and we shall continue. They are going on a boat, and they're going to travel around Europe, and they show where they've been because Claudia is painting beautiful charcoal pictures, but of course Louis's like, I thought I'd see the beautiful blue seas of the Mediterranean, but instead it's all black.
It's a bit of a groan, yeah. So before they went on the trip, Claudia had done a bit of research about the old country, and they keep referring to the old country, but they're just talking about Europe because they wanted to learn more about vampires and where they came from. So they keep stopping off at all these destinations, trying to find more vampires. They can't. And I guess because they're from New Orleans, their destination they end up stopping in is Paris. And that's where they settle.
Yes, they find themselves in Paris, and their search for more vampires has been completely futile. I don't know what they thought they would do, just sort of strut around the street until they find some vampires just come and like, hey, yeah, this is a club. I wonder if vampires now use Facebook and that's how they find each other. I like to think so. Funnily enough, when he's in Paris, and I don't know where, do you remember where he's going? He's just done up in this really elaborate suit with a tuxedo with this big long cape and white gloves. And he sees another man dressed very similar to him with a big top hat and everything. And this guy is kind of mirroring everything that Louis does. I guess he gets the vibe straight away, like, I think this is a vampire. And this other guy does this mirroring kind of mime thing. And then all of a sudden starts walking up the side of the wall and upside down to prove he's a vampire. But this that one bit, and I know it's such a nothing thing, but he's upside down looking at Louis and nothing is draping down. It's like, do vampires have a power of keeping all their dangly belongings like with them? Like, they just defy gravity. I don't know. That's one thing. I'm like, he has long hair. Like, shouldn't his hair be? Anyway.
The magic.
Yeah, so it's a weird magic where all their clothes and their, you know, body parts don't go with gravity. So anyway, I guess that makes sense if you're a vampire. Like,
and it's a beautiful homage to Fred Astaire walking up the wall.
Yeah, it is too.
Little trick that he does. So yeah. I thought it was quite cute.
But yes, just done and playful. By a very creepy vampire who we find out is named Santiago. And there's another vampire there who is just a beautiful, beautiful boy. His name is Armand and he's played by Antonio Banderas and has luscious black shiny long hair and is just very captivating. And Louis immediately is like, wow, I like you. And, you know, gets a sense that he's like a much older vampire and there's lots to be learned. So they invite him to, they have a theatre troupe, I guess.
Yeah.
And they basically put on plays, pretend like they're pretending to be humans, pretending to be vampires. They go to a show and yeah, it's kind of like a cheap production. There's like just normal humans in the audience, but they're, you know, talking about vampires and everything and it's all a little bit silly. But then they have a girl come out who is absolutely fucking terrified. They, you know, Louis and Claudia realise this is part of their show, but she's not acting. She's generally
fearing
for
victim.
Her life. Yeah, she's a victim, yeah. And, you know, it wouldn't be a 90s movie if they don't strip her off naked and humiliate her terribly. Then Armand comes out, and like, because Santiago does like this big monologue, but it was kind of clever how all the things that she was yelling he'd incorporate, so it kind of did seem like it might have been staged.
And I would have been fooled. If I was in the audience, I'd be like, oh.
Not for a minute would I be like, it's obviously a real person who's distraught. Like,
I'd be like, wow, great acting. She's good.
And she's like, I don't want to die. And he's like, well, you know, everyone has to die. And you're going to choose someone from the audience to volunteer. And this woman's like, me. I want to be. I think you're great. And he's like, you wait your turn. All very dramatic and vampire-y, very much indeed. Yeah, then Armand comes out and he's the one who... this is where I realised that they do have glamour because he actually glamours her and she, you know, goes and embraces him and then passes out unconscious and they feast on her. And everyone in the audience is like, afterwards is like, I don't know what that was. And they all kind of leave like, great and just kind of leave really uncomfortably. Like the women are kind of like getting out there as fast as they can because like, no, that was a little bit too full on for me, as they should. But no one, do you think anyone will tell the police? Probably not.
No. Because I mean, it's like you did go to see a horror show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Maybe just a bit too gritty and real for 1800s audiences, I guess. Louis doesn't like it. Like he's pretty upset at seeing that happen. And I think Claudia's just unimpressed with it in general. But they still, when Armand invites them backstage to go meet, so they all live under the, I guess it's under the theater.
Yeah.
He gets taken downstairs. What were you saying about Roger Ebert or someone?
Yeah, so when he did his review about this, he actually brought up the scene about when they get led down to the coven. And he was like, oh, it was so visually impressive. And I was like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, this just looks like just some set design piece from Buffy.
Yeah.
But again, 1994 standards, 2020, I guess maybe it was visually impressive back then. It's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of like...
It's nothing that we haven't seen like done 10 times better.
No. Since then. It's what I would expect if you took me to an underground coven. I've seen better stuff in video games.
Definitely. Yeah, they go and see where they live and they're kind of introduced to the coven. What do you call a group of vampires?
Coven,
okay.
Well, no, maybe that's a witch thing.
That's a witches? Okay, what do they...
Mm.
As they're leaving, so they kind of, I could think, get a little bit weirded out. I think Armand's kind of talking, he's very blasé. Oh, he's talking a lot about how you're such a modern vampire and, you know, how compared to him, he's like, I'm the oldest living vampire. But apparently he's only 400 years old, which doesn't seem that old, really.
No.
Like he's the oldest living, are they all, that's what, 1400s? Like, that doesn't seem incredibly old, but anyway.
It doesn't really make sense, like, again, with vampire lore, but, you know, maybe he thinks he's that old and stuff. But you can sense that, they're not impressed by Louis. They're not impressed that Armand is infatuated with Louis. And as we learned earlier, different vampires have different skills. Mm-hmm. And it's Claudio? Santiago.
Yeah, Santiago actually can read the mind of Louis. And Louis's thinking to himself about Lestat and how we shouldn't have killed him kind of thing. And he's like, Lestat, I know that name. And he's like... So San Diego has read his mind something about killing Lestat, which he says is like the worst crime a vampire can do is killing another one. So they're kind of like, okay, and just leave. So at some point, I think Armand does a little bit more convincing to Louis about, you know, you could teach me a lot about the new ways. I could teach you some stuff about the old ways and we'd be really good together. However, because you turned a child, which is a huge big no-no in the vampire world, you would probably be better off sending her off because... the coven or whatever won't accept her. And Louis kind of like, well, without her, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, I'll think about it. So he goes home, which is where we realized that the mirror thing doesn't apply to the vampires in this because we're trying to work it out. And then all of a sudden he walks in and you see the entire shot's filmed in a mirror.
Yeah.
As he walks in, you're like, okay, so the mirror thing doesn't work for vampires in this. Which is disappointing. Like, I feel like that's the one that should be carried across. Like, I just think of what we do in the shadows and the recurring jokes of that, which is perfect vampire comedy.
Yeah.
But...
And it's also that catch 22 of being made beautiful but not being able to see your own beauty.
Yeah.
I always thought that was kind
of
like
was one
that.
Of the main things about being a vampire. Oh, well. So maybe it was just too hard to try and replicate that in this movie in the 90s.
Yeah.
So he goes home and he's basically, I guess, going to break it to Claudia that he wants to go live with Armand, but she can't come, but she's already figured it out.
Yeah.
She went into like a doll shop or something and found this woman who she's managed to convince to become a vampire and basically be her companion for the end of time.
Yeah.
And so this woman presents herself. She's this beautiful woman, this amazing dress, this big choker on. She's already been bitten by Claudia, but Claudia isn't strong enough because she's so young her body's so young to actually turn her. So she demands Louis do it because she's like, you're going to leave me. So you need to leave me with someone and you do it. And Louis throws in more tantrums, yawn. And eventually gives in and they turn her into a vampire. Poor old Claudia hasn't seen the process happen before, so she's alarmed because this girl has to die her mortal death. Louis just like lying on the balustrade outside, just being like, oh, she's just her mortal death. It's fine. You're too young to understand.
Yeah. He also says that we're even now. You've kind of made me do something that I never really wanted to do. And I thought that was very dramatic because... Yeah. Come on, like, she didn't want to be a vampire either, but hello,
but
you did that to
like,
her.
And this woman is so willing, like, she's like, because she has a little locket where she lost her daughter, so she's, like, wants to look after Claudia, and she's fully on board, so bloody stop whining, would you, mate? Just as she's just turned into her most beautiful self, this woman, whose name I didn't even write down. Madeline. There we go. I did write it down. There we go. So Madeline has only just turned, and she... is probably feeling her best self. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, Santiago and his mates all just fucking burst in and take them. Thus begins the scene, which Ben came storming in. He's like, oh my God, are you up to the scene? Because he just, every time I watch this movie, that's the moment when Ben busts in. It's like, oh my God, the scene. He loves it so much. He loves the music, all that stuff. So it's one of those things, like, they're being very evil because they've taken Louis, Claudia, and Madeline, who's done nothing wrong. She's only just been turned to a vampire, and they're seeking revenge for a killing Lestat, who they actually all knew. Mm-hmm. I think Armand said earlier that, yes, I know Lestat, and I knew enough of him not to mourn his passing. So he had a bit of a reputation for being an asshole, I guess. Yeah, but they storm in, and they're just being, like, such crazy vampires. There's one woman who's just, like, they're all cackling and screaming and like, yeah, we're going to fuck you up. And so Louis' punishment has been decided that he will be locked up in a metal box and sealed up for eternity, whereas the two women get put into a pit where the sun will come in and burn them to death. Armand knows it's happening, but just kind of is like sulking in his boudoir, just like, I can't believe it. But I guess they had to be punished because they did
break the law. And it kind of works in his favor as well because he does want to sever that connection because then he gets Louis all to himself. And earlier when we kind of got a little bit confused with the scenes, Claudia's character mentions to Louis that she could sense, I guess, Armand saying to her, we don't know if she can actually read minds at this stage, but she could feel Armand saying to her, let him go.
Oh, yeah.
So she knew, that's why she sought out Madeline, the companion, that this was on the cards, this was going to happen. Armand wanted Louis so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Lestat, you know, they're attracted to Louis and I don't know, I don't see the attraction.
He's good looking, I think.
It's good looking, but I guess he just has this quality about him that he's so human. He has such a capacity for feeling and empathy that these vampires just don't understand.
Yeah.
So he just kind of ignores what's going on and lets his brood, which is what a coven of vampires is, looked up, do as they will and let them murder Claudia and Madeline. And
they're like dragging this big metal coffin type thing and they're all cackling and laughing and I'm sure they all had really sore throats filming the scene. And the music swells and the two women, it's nighttime when they put it into the pit and then as the sun comes down, you see them and they start panicking and they just get set on fire and it's very impressive like how they do it because I guess that's probably, was that CGI would have to have been?
No. So they actually made a sculpture out of it and then used string to pull the sculpture apart and let it dismantle. So.
Cool. Yeah. So they just turned to ash and like immediately Armand goes and frees Louis. Like obviously the punishment was just knowing that he couldn't stop
exactly
what happened because they brick him in too like really quickly bricks put in straight away.
Which is always my favorite punishment. I don't know. I've always liked the bricking.
I was thinking like the itchy and scratchy where they scratchy always gets bricked up.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always loved that as a trope. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously Louis is furious. He goes into the pit and it's too late and that's where they just pull apart and they're just so well done. Just you could even see like the rib bones and everything like really good attention to detail. So he's, you know, essentially his daughter who like, this is a thing we passed over, but Kirsten Dunst's first kiss was Brad Pitt, like a fully grown fucking man.
Yeah.
It's the 90s were wild for literally making children kiss adults.
Yes.
Weird. But yeah. When they go through like her 30 years of being a vampire and she like would sleep with Louis, curled up with him and then she got her own little coffin but always sneak back and it was like so like being a little bit sexual and you're like, ew, guys.
Mine was a little bit later. I thought later there was a stage that she was going to ask him when she discovered like she wanted to be a woman that she was going to ask him to be her lover and I was just like, I hope it doesn't go down that way. But I definitely, you could see that she empathized with Louis and saw him as a father figure and once she discovered that pain of not being able to grow up, she understood why Louis felt so much pain as well and their bond grew like a lot stronger together, hence the whole we need to leave Lestat and go out on our own.
Because he has very little empathy for anyone at all ever.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah. Poor old Louis is obviously distraught and fair enough. I think especially because like his crime was, well their crime was killing a vampire. Is killing the vampires also killing, like does it, the punishment doesn't really fit the crime kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the death penalty. It doesn't make sense. Punishment. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I disagree with that. I disagree with capital punishment in real life, in our life, and also in vampire lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
he gets revenge.
He wants revenge. Mm. Another thing that Ben stuck around for was he goes in just before the sun's going to come up, all the vampires in the brood. I love that brood of vampires. Mm. Is that how brooding comes from when you're a goth?
Yeah, well.
So basically he just douses it all in some sort of...
Yeah, I wasn't sure what that was. I was like, is alcohol? That a liquor or an alcohol or something? Yeah.
Some brown liquid. It covers everything and then just sets them on fire. And anyone that comes bouncing out of their coffin before they get burnt up. How do we wear that pronouncing? The scythe?
I think scythe.
Scythe. We're trying to say, is it scythe or scythe? Mm. Yeah, he just like stabs and slashes them all. Yeah. And with Santiago, it's really dramatic how he comes at him and like, you think it's going to be a big fight. And he goes, slice, and just slices like under his arms. Like just really good done. That was practical effects too, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So the actor actually had to sit in an uncomfortable position for an hour, half body exposed for that scene. So that was really, really interesting.
Well worth it, I reckon. And he's his act of revenge. He runs outside. The sun's starting to come up. He's like, well, I guess this is where I die. But luckily, Armand like, comes a slow motion out with his beautiful horses, the big feathery headdresses, and rescues him. And the little boy that we met earlier, that's like just their drink bottle.
I don't think we even talked about him, but when they first met, when they were introducing him to the brood, or when they went backstage after the show, there was a young boy that
covered in bite marks and then he's the one flying. So, well, that's what they have, what we do in the shadows. You have like a human servant who does all your daytime stuff. So I guess it was him, but he was quite young. He was
very
like
young.
13-year-old boy.
Mm.
Anyway, I guess he seemed fairly willing.
Yeah.
As much as you can at 13 years old. I guess although in the 1800s, when you're 13, you're basically 30, right?
Like, you're a chimney sweep or
party
favor.
You've already worked for like 30, for the 12 of those 13 years. Yeah, so he's rescued and Armand's like, sweet, we're going to start our kick-ass life together, learning stuff. And Louis's like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Pass.
And just like bounces out of there. Like it's after all that. And I think he probably realized, oh, you set it up so I would lose my daughter essentially. I don't think I want to be with you. But and Armand's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But Louis then decides he's going to spend the next however many hundred or so years just moping around, fucking
wandering
in the world. He eventually makes his way back to America, and like he finally gets to see this fucking sunsets he's obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Like he talks about like the history of film and how he saw it in silver and then in gold and all the different colors that sunsets could be. And at this point, it must be I don't know the 70s or 80s. I'm trying to work out what his suit.
Yeah, I think it was. At least like,
comes
80-ish,
out.
80s by his suit.
Yeah. And he comes out of, what was the movie?
Something Tequila? Tequila Sunrise.
Whatever year that movie came out. So he's seen that and he's in New Orleans and he's like, oh, I know where that my old plantation house is. And he actually pretty much gives the address, which next time I go to New Orleans, I'm going to go there in the dress I'm wearing right now, which is Lestat all over it, and just be like yelling Lestat quotes at the vacant lot. Yeah. So he goes back there. It's been 200 years and for some reason the plantation house is still there. It's just obviously no one's lived in there for 100 years and it's all decrepit.
Well, I think this might be not the plantation house. It might be the second house that they moved into when they became a family. Or was that somewhere else?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
Because they burnt down the plantation house.
They burnt it down.
When he was with Claudia and the three of them were the family.
Still 200 years.
But
long time.
That's it. Exactly. I don't know how that place is still standing.
Oh, so that would make sense. Yeah, it's because like,
because it's more in town.
Yeah, it's more in town where they lived out of town. So they moved into New Orleans. Okay, now I understand. Yeah. But also, if it's right in New Orleans, probably in...
it should have been knocked down.
The French Quarter. Yeah. Like, real estate is prime there.
That's what I mean. There was a freeway right next to it. It would have been knocked down. I don't know how it was still standing there.
But
he smells death.
Yes.
Old death.
Smells old death, and he follows a trail of dead rats. Mm. And guess who's sitting up there looking worse for wear? It's sexy Lestat, who, even though he looks like he's barely alive and is gaunt and nervous, like when Louis approaches him, he like recoils in horror, but still looking fine as hell, in my opinion. And he's like, oh, you've come back to me. You're as beautiful as ever. Please, let's try again. And Louis's like, nah.
Yeah.
And just leaves him there. And helicopter comes in,
like
doing
a police
sweep,
helicopter,
which, you know, it could have just swept past, but it actually like points right into them. I'm like, wouldn't they see two people in there and be like, these are the guys we're looking for? But anyway, Lestat freaks out. We got the lights. He just doesn't understand this new modern world. Can you please help me? And Louis's like, nah, I'm not going to. And
see, I didn't like this part. What's that meme? I was just kind of like, just give him a little blood.
Yeah, just give him
just a little bit.
Yeah, like you don't have to do anything. Like you just go and get like
Just one girl.
A girl. If you had to go get a photo, a big animal, like, I don't know, like, just give him something instead of just rats.
Yeah, just, I don't know, like, he owed him to a certain degree. Like, he walks in here all beautiful and...
in his hideous brown suit.
Yeah, it just really bugged me. And, yeah, basically, Louis's just like, okay, well, I'm out.
Yeah, see ya. Bye.
Bye.
And just leaves Lestat to his own devices. And that's where he kind of cuts the interview off.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And he's kind of like, and that's it. And Malloy, the journalist, is like, hang on, that's it? Like, this can't be it. And he's like, he wants to know more. And he's like, well, you obviously brought me here for a reason, right? Like, you need a companion who's from the modern times. And Louis's like, that's not what I meant. And he's like, and everyone in the world's like, that seems like what you meant. And he's like, no, it sucks. You haven't learned a lesson. And in my opinion, Louis is the only person in the world who doesn't want to be a vampire. Like, anyone watching this movie is like, fuck yeah, I'd make the most of this. I wouldn't be sulking the whole time.
Exactly.
Beautiful. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to my hair, but apart from that, definitely want a piece of that action.
Mm-hmm.
But Louis's like, no, blah, blah, blah. Like, turns into a monster to, like, try and intimidate this guy. The guy, I mean, it works. He just bolts out of there. Like, he drops into the ground, and then Louis's just gone. And this guy's like, whoa, okay, I'm just going to get out of here.
Yeah.
That actually really rattled me really badly. Jumps into his beautiful Mustang, which seems like a very flash car for a journalist wearing a vest. But he jumps into his Mustang, chucks the cassette in of Louis talking from the beginning and is listening to it and speeding over the Golden Gate Bridge. And then the movie ends. So the movie could have ended really shittily and not have been like, fucking Louis, but they did everything exactly as they should have, because as he's in the car, someone else has joined him in the car with him. It is Lestat. And Lestat is not looking great, but he ends up sucking the blood from Malloy. When he popped back up, he's looking fucking beautiful again.
He looks really good.
Like, he takes over driving and you see his hands on the steering wheel. And then he just pulls his little lacy cuff out of his sleeve and he's like driving and he like listens to... can hear Louis talking on the cassette and he's like, oh, I've been listening to Louis whine for centuries, haven't I?
And it just sums up exactly how you feel watching this movie, because it's true. Like, we just watched, I don't even know how long the movie is, but I was sick of hearing Louis, so I can imagine, like, centuries of listening to this crap.
Yep.
And he ejects the tape and puts on some...
And then he puts on Sympathy for the Devil, which is a Rolling Stones song but covered by Guns N' Roses, which is great. It's how I'm to make sure you know that this is a modern movie and also driving a car, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's just like... And I use this picture a lot of Lestat looking down at Malloy and just talking to him and saying, I'm going to give you the choice I never had. And just driving away and then, pans
That's
out.
That's it.
Beautiful... crossing the bridge. And that is it. That's Interview with the Vampire.
Again, not what I expected. I don't know what I expected, because it's a classic film that's been around for ages, but that's what we got. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was a very enjoyable film.
And I think the ending really made it, like, after everything that you were feeling about Louis and Lestat, like, it ended with Louis being mocked by Lestat for being a big whiny baby. And you're like, he was a big whiny baby. And Lestat's like just living the life. And Malloy's obviously going to be his new, like, another willing vampire. Like, if you've got these fucking willing vampires, just turn them. I personally don't mind, but I've also never had to be confronted by a vampire wanting to kill me.
No, exactly. I mean, it could happen, but no.
But if it happened, I would work out pretty quickly. I feel that I'm like, hang on, if you're a vampire, like, don't kill me. I would be excellent. If you don't want me to be a vampire, I will be your servant. It'll be fine.
See your husband. You can't do... It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment. If it's the stat, it's a sacrifice. Okay. I'm willing to make.
Okay. So it's not just any vampire.
No, if it's Santiago, I'm like, kill me, whatever.
Okay.
No, I'm mostly meaning Lestat as a vampire. But obviously, we both really enjoyed this movie. We should probably talk about Tom Cruise-isms, of which they're... aren't a lot, because it's not a super Tom Cruise-y movie. I mean, it's not an action movie. It's his only horror movie that he's ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, which I'd love to see him do more, but, you know.
I wonder why he stayed away from the genre.
I don't know. Great. I mean, The Mummy, which is a more recent one, is a little bit, but it's very action-y, so it's barely a horror at all. Yeah, when he did Rock of Ages, he was really excited to do a musical, but he's never, I guess he just waits until the right thing's offered to him, and otherwise he doesn't necessarily pursue things. I don't know. Yeah, so running isn't a thing at all in this.
But I did learn that, so you have talked about about in other podcasts how they close down certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So Vanilla Sky, I think it was Times Square.
Yes.
And Mission Impossible Fallout, it was that fancy Arc
de... The Arc de Triomphe, yeah.
This is the first time ever,
mm-hmm.
ever for a movie production where they close down the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow, I
didn't
know that.
They only closed down two lanes,
mm-hmm.
but... Yeah, it had never been done before, so...
Fantastic.
I was like, that's a Tom Cruise-ism.
Yeah, that's a new Tom Cruise-ism. Mm. What did they shut down in order to film this? Exactly. Thank you. I've never really thought about it as one, but that is definitely a Tom Cruise-ism.
The other thing that I learned was, again, back to that Anne Rice bit, that he was so disappointed. He was very hurt when he found out that Anne Rice didn't want him to be cast in this movie, that I was listening to this interview. So he's a little bit like me. He's a bit of a teacher's pet.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and he read Interview with the Vampire a lot. And then he went and he read all her other novels.
Oh, wow.
He then also went on a strict diet because he wanted his cheekbones to be prominent, like Lestat in the movie. After that, he decided he was going to learn how to play the piano. But specifically, he wanted to learn how to play the piano pieces that Lestat played.
Oh my God.
So that he could know how to do that. He then went and researched the life of 18th century French aristocrats. He then went to Versailles in Paris and decided that he wanted to visit the museums and art galleries so he could look at the fashion and the art of the times. And to get into the role of Lestat,
mm-hmm.
Which was really prominent in that scene where we're talking about his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know this now when I mentioned this to you. To get into that mind of a predator, he watched hours and hours and hours of documentaries on lions and other predators stalking wildlife.
Wow.
And yeah, I can see that now when mm-hmm. I watch that scene, just the way he like approaches the actresses in that moment was just very like, ooh, I'm gonna get you slowly. And
that's amazing. That's definitely a Tom Cruise-ism that we've never really counted before. It's just like how much research he does to get into a role.
Yes. And compare this to Brad Pitt, who hated being in this movie. So he asked to be let out of this movie. They said it would cost him $40 million mm-hmm. if he decided to break his contract. He hated being in this movie because he got the script 2 weeks before. He hated wearing the contacts. He hated that it was all shot at night.
Mm-hmm.
He said it made him depressed and it made him sad. He hated the character, that it didn't have, I guess, enough substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because in the book, I'm not too familiar with the book, but it has a bit more sort of, not voiceover, but whatever the book version is.
Yeah, narration kind of
narration, yeah, which didn't really, you didn't have that much. I guess you had that with the interview elements, but not really the
So that's,
the inner dialogue of
Louis. A huge, why the contrast between their characters is so obvious, because like so pronounced, is because Tom Cruise dedicated, like Tom Cruise gets paid an exorbitant amount of money, but he obviously puts in so much work into to make it all worthwhile, whereas Brad Pitt's like, I don't like it, it's dark and I'm cold.
Exactly. And you can see that in the performance, it shines through. Like I'm not a massive Brad Pitt fan.
I'm a little bit indifferent, except for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I like that movie,
but he also was just smoking hot in that, so that's usually what sways me.
And when I say I'm not a fan, I'm just indifferent, like
fairly indifferent, like
can't think of a movie that I've ever gotten excited because he's in it. So maybe California. Or Thelma and Louise, and again, just eye candy.
Yeah.
So that's awful.
Yeah, so that's, fascinating. Actually, I hadn't read any of that. That's really interesting.
Only other two things I'll quickly bring in here. The makeup artist. So Stan Winston was the people that did the makeup for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually did the animatronics for Jurassic Park.
Oh.
And he begged to work on this movie, and the producers and the directors were like, no, we don't want you working on this movie because we want to use makeup, we don't want to use like animatronics and special effects.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, actually, I did the makeup on The Thing, Aliens and Terminator, like I can do the makeup.
I think I know what I'm doing.
So to get those veins on their foreheads, the actors actually had to hang upside down for 30 minutes.
How nuts is that?
So that their veins, the blood would flow to their head, the veins would protrude, and then they would have to
paint over them.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting and probably added to Brad Pitt's pain of having to be on the set.
I mean, that wouldn't be fun, but do we know how much Brad Pitt was getting paid? Like $10 million?
A lot. And Tom Cruise put up with it as well. Mm. So, you can't complain there. The other interesting fact was River Phoenix was originally meant to play Christian Slater's character, but passed away before the film. And not apparently, Christian Slater donated his paycheck to a couple of charities that River Phoenix was really into.
Mm.
So I thought those were some interesting tidbits, and also that they won a Razzie Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise for worst screen couple.
I would beg to differ. I think Lestat carried that entire couple, but also the best couple I've ever seen. There's a lot I want to talk about with the homoerotic, the gay sort of thing, but I actually think maybe we'll do a little mini-sode about that. We haven't actually talked about this, but we'll just do it on air on the podcast. Yeah. So instead of going into that, we'll save that for in a moment, but let's just rate it. Have you got a rating system out of 5 that you would like to do?
Yeah, I do. I've never given a movie 5 stars ever in my life. Mm-hmm. Good movies get a 4, mm-hmm. so this one gets a 3.
Lovely. 3, hang on, you got to choose what 3 what's out of what?
Oh, 3 brooding Brad Pitt mopes out of 3. out of 5.
That's wonderful. Mm. Mine will be, and this is a thing that I'm obsessed with, is I'm going to give it 4.5. Who did their acrylic nails out of 5? Mm. Because they all have acrylic nails. And I'm like,
they do.
Who did the acrylic nails? And like, 4, they say 4.5 out of 5. Mystery Interview with the Vampire nail techs out of 5. So yeah, we'll leave it now because we'll do a little mini-sode about all of the relationship stuff that we've been talking about a little bit. But yeah, I'd like to sort of delve into a little bit further. In the meantime, Ava, tell me where we can find you online.
You can find me on the online virtual world at Miss Ava Savage on Twitter and the same handle, Miss Ava Savage on Instagram.
Wonderful. And as per usual, it's Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review, no S on Twitter, or tomcruisereviews.com for everything else. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the minisode.